Welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. My name is Rebecca Whitman, and I'm a success mentor. I believe there are seven pillars of success: your spiritual life, your physical fitness, your emotional, romantic, mental, social, and finally, your financial life. When you get all seven areas in alignment, you are balanced, beautiful, and abundant. I learned this the hard way. I've always made money. Unfortunately, I spent so much time making money that I never had time for the rest of my life. So, despite not having financial worries, I was never happy. I wanted romance, but I didn't have time to date. I wanted to be in great shape, but I couldn't find a moment to go to the gym. I wanted a more spiritual life, but I didn't meditate. That also takes time. I wanted to read great books and fill my mind with deep thoughts, but I never made the time. I wanted a great social life, not just going to work-related events. Emotionally, I was a wreck because my life was totally out of balance. Today, I earn more money than I ever have in my life, and I work only part-time. I have the relationship of my dreams. I'm in the best physical shape of my life. I'm spiritually grounded. I feel fulfilled mentally, socially, and emotionally. My life is in perfect alignment. This podcast will help you discover where your life is out of balance. My mission is to support you in achieving work-life balance so that you can have more fun and freedom in life. On my show, you will get to learn from experts in all seven areas of abundance. My guests have achieved tremendous success in their zone of genius. Are you ready to go to a level 10 in all seven areas of life? You got this. All right, here we are, Laurel House. I am so excited to talk to you about the New You Summit, helping people set their romantic goals for 2020. And let me just tell you a little bit about this wonderful guest of mine. She is a published author, the host of the hit podcast, The Man Whisperer. She's a dating, relationship, and empowerment coach. And this is just some of the outlets. She's given guidance on over 500 media outlets, including the E! Channel, Access Hollywood, Nightline, Good Morning America, The Today Show, Vogue, Glamour, The Washington Post, The Huffington Post, Reader's Digest, and Shape Magazine, just to name a few.
Yeah.
So you are the dating expert, the love guru, the relationship coach. How did you come to find this type of work?
Oh my gosh. Well, really personal experience.
Yeah. I want to hear it.
A lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm someone who I like taking notes, which means that if I make a mistake, I want to understand what the mistake was, why I made the mistake, what I could do better next time, how it expanded my perspective. I mean, so much so that even I remember, and this might not be totally appropriate for your audience, but I remember when I was 22 and I had a boyfriend who broke up with me, and it was my first like real heartbreak. He called me at 4 a.m. and broke up with me, and he was cheating on me. And he said, "And by the way, you're the worst head I ever had." And I was like,
"Oh boy.
Whoa. Why?" And I wanted to know why. And then I went and did research on how to do it better, because I didn't want to be someone who didn't know how to do something well that I could possibly control. So I started just really trying to understand everything about love, relationships, sex, dating, flirting, and then look at myself and see how I related in that space, because I am historically a wallflower. I was very shy growing up.
I find that so hard to believe.
I was heavily bullied, actually beat up a lot, had no friends. I was the awkward girl, had no boyfriends, and I didn't know how to communicate with people because I was always trying to be what I thought I should instead of being me.
Yes.
And I had to learn how to. First, I put on this persona, and then eventually I had to take off the persona and allow myself to be this person. And that's what I do with a lot of my coaching, is helping people to, I mean, as simple as it sounds, helping people to be themselves instead of presenting the facade of who they think they should be, because that facade is fake.
That's what people fall in love with, right? Nobody wants to fall in love with like a plastic fake version. They want to fall in love with the real you.
That's exactly. And that's, you know, I have so many clients who are like, but I do everything right. I'm perfect when it comes to dating. And I say, right. And that's the problem. You're perfect. Right. No one wants perfect. People want quirky and weird and interesting. And I am weird. I am quirky. I say weird stuff. I do weird things. And that's what makes me lovable. And that's, you know, if you think about the people who you love most, do you love them because they're perfect? Do you love them because they're always right? Do you love them because they're so smart and so put together? No, you love them because of who they are and their weaknesses, their vulnerabilities, their honesty, their humanity. That's what you need to be too.
That is so refreshing, because there's a lot of people out there, especially women, that are recovering perfectionists. Mm-hmm. And they think the reason they're single is because they're not skinny enough. They're not young enough. They're not smart enough. They're not this and they're not that. I call it in my book, not good enoughism or not enoughism.
Yes.
So what do you tell women who feel like they're single because they're just not enough?
Well, I say, so if that's what you believe, even if you're going out there acting like you are enough, the underlying feeling is what is being felt by them. If you think I am not enough, they're going to look at you and say, gosh, it's so weird. She puts on this perfect veneer, but there's something that feels not enough about her.
Right.
That's her. It's her. It is in her head, the not enough. So it's getting to a place of owning and showing confidently, vulnerably who you actually are, which is a process. You know, it's not like, oh, I'm great. You know, it takes time. Mm-hmm. And it takes time of learning your voice, understanding your needs, realizing that your needs are valid and should be valued, and not expecting or accepting anything less. And again, it's a process. It's a strategy, and it takes time.
I love that point, because women are socialized to be people pleasers, and they're socialized just to wrap themselves into a pretzel to meet the other person's needs.
Yeah.
But really what makes a healthy relationship is when both people can ask for their needs to be met.
Yeah.
So that it takes a lot of courage. I know it's something that I've been working on in my personal life, is having the courage to ask for my needs to be met and then not being attached to the results, because I used to ask for my needs to be met. And if the person said no, I would take it personally. And then, oh, I can't ever ask for anything because they rejected me.
You know, what's interesting about that is a lot of us don't even know what our needs are. Mm. You know, so it goes, there's one step back of, wait, but what are my needs? Mm. And I have developed a list of 36 needs that are pretty common, not pretty common, that pretty much every single person has, except for maybe one or two needs that are yes or no's. And the first three are safe, sexy, and seen. And then it goes on to communication, feeling like a priority, a partner, admiration, mutual adoration, respect, all of these different things. And now that just because that's the need that is the universal need doesn't mean that it is the same for you and me. We might have different definitions of what is a partner. We have different definitions of what is respect, different definitions of what is admiration. So it's also having clarity of these are my needs and my needs are valid. And then how do I communicate my needs? And then how do I extract their needs? And then how do I see if our needs align or are respected? You know, even if they're not aligned and even if they're not understood, can we respect each other's? Can our lifestyles align? And that's It's a lot of this deep work before you can really be ready to be in that healthy relationship. And I even have couples who I work with who come to me and say, I'm just not happy and I don't know why and something is missing and I'm not attracted to them anymore and my needs aren't being met and I love them. But, well, first of all, love is not enough. And second of all, are you guys finding ways in which you are connecting? Do you know what your needs are? Can you communicate them? Can you be understanding of each other instead of looking for all the negatives? Can you start looking for the positives?
I'm glad you brought up couples, because one of the teachings I talk about in the book is we have to be willing to walk away from the relationships that are no longer serving our highest good. And this is a new year, new you summit. So what is a great way to, what's a marker or a distinction on how to tell if it's time to just keep hanging there and working on it, or if it's time to actually just cut your losses and walk away?
The very first thing is people say, but I love them. Mm-hmm. And so my answer is always, love is not enough. Mm-hmm. Okay. So then it's, do your lifestyles align? Well, what does that mean? Are they a partier and you're not? Well, what does that mean? What is partying and what does not mean? Can you accept and respect and be understanding of those different things? Do I feel alone in this relationship? Well, is it because I'm not communicating? Is it because I am putting myself in a box that is a box of alone? Am I pushing you away and making you feel like I want to be alone? Is there miscommunication there? So there are a lot of things that you need to start looking at. You know, do I feel like a burden? Do I feel not good enough? Am I hiding things? Am I making excuses for my partner all the time? Am I making excuses to myself, saying, it's a phase, it'll pass. You know, maybe sometimes it is. Maybe it's just, it is situational as opposed to who they actually are as a person. So you can look at that. It's about being honest, you know.
And there's deal breakers. Those are more subjective, then there's like hard and fast things that you totally have to, like, I will not
absolutely
accept verbal or physical abuse, drug
absolutely
use, infidelity. Those are just completely, if you have deal breakers, then it's.
And for some people, they're different, right? I mean, yeah. For physical and emotional abuse, I don't care if it is a deal breaker, universally, it is, okay? If you're in a relationship, you have physical or emotional abuse, and I just got tingles because it's like, I'm so, leave, okay? Yeah. Do it safely, get help if you need to, leave. Mm-hmm. Other things, if it's cheating, you know, some people are okay with that. It depends on your relationship. Some people say that an affair has helped their relationship. So it doesn't have to be a deal breaker for everyone. So it's, you know, we're not intimate anymore. Well, what does intimacy mean? Is it emotional intimacy? Is it physical intimacy? Is it that you like to have sex all the time and I like to have sex once every 3 months? Is there a way to come together? Can you accept my sex drive? Can I do something to increase it? Can we just touch? Can we just hang out together? You know, do we need to live in separate bedrooms? Is that okay? Is it not okay? I like to sleep alone. If you're laying next to me, I'm going to be annoyed. So it's not about you. It's about my sleep.
Right.
So it's also getting to a place of being totally honest,
yes,
with yourself and then with them.
And when you're totally honest, you have to be willing for the other person to
say
or go. But yeah, your truth is your truth, and yeah, that's not debatable.
Yeah, you know, I was in a relationship and I said, and when it comes to sleeping, and I said, I cannot sleep in bed with you anymore. Number one, I don't like sleeping in bed with anyone, including my child, because I don't like to be touched. Number two, you snore. And I'm the lightest sleeper. Like, I hear the power going off. I'm going to be in a terrible mood. And he said, not sleeping with me and not snuggling with me is a deal breaker. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, well, having to snuggle with you is a deal breaker,
yeah,
for me. And it's not because I'm trying to be mean. This is not a you issue. It's a me issue.
I had the same issue in my marriage. He thought that love is like holding the person all night. And to me, that felt totally suffocating. And when I sleep, it's like sacred time, and yeah, I don't want to be disturbed. I don't want to be touched. I don't want that. And he kept feeling rejected. And
right,
it is one of the reasons why our marriage didn't work. And that's why I was on your show, The Man Whisperer. That was right.
Isn't that amazing that that is a reason why so many marriages and relationships break up? And truly, it's about communication. You know, can we come to a middle? Okay, you need to snuggle. Great. Can we snuggle for a little bit? Mm-hmm. And then we're going to separate.
So yeah, that I was willing to do that, like cuddle right before we go to bed. And when we wake up, just not all night. And it just wasn't enough. And
yeah, for me, it's about the three C's. Okay. So people think that dating is a game and dating is confusing and relationships are confusing, and it's not. Okay. It is communication creates clarity, creates confidence. Mm. You have to, in order to have the confidence, you need to have clarity. In order to have clarity, you need to have communication. So these three are essentials and they all work together. So it is, and it's being willing to, in that communication, to be able to say, number one, in communicating, I might lose you.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be because I realize that I need more and you're unwilling to give me what I need. And it could be them saying, look, what you're doing, I can't do. So you need to be open to, and really open to, being happy.
And a lot of people have a lack mentality that they think, oh my God, if this relationship doesn't work, I'm gonna die alone. And they have a lack mentality. You can have it when it comes to money. You can have it when it comes to relationships. If people would just realize there's an abundance of partners that do have the qualities they're looking for, they don't have to cling on to this relationship like it's the last relationship on earth. That builds the confidence. I love the three C's. I want to talk about clarity. Yeah. So I know you said you wrote down all your needs. Do you also have your clients write down the qualities they're looking for in a partner?
So the needs can be that are interchangeable with qualities, okay, because that it's basically at the end of the day, it's a feeling that you're looking for. You're looking for a feeling. You're not looking for a thing. You know, you're looking for the feeling of safety, the feeling of seen, the feeling of connected, the feeling of partnership. That's what is most important. At the end of the day, close your eyes. How do you feel?
Right. And it's like that people say, oh, well, they were everything that I wanted on paper, but I just didn't feel anything when I was
exactly.
with them.
Paper perfect is not enough. It's not. It never will be enough. How many times have you dated someone who's perfect on paper and they fell short in real life? And it's because of the feeling, you know, and it was interesting. A lot of people are afraid to actually talk about their truth and talk about these things that might seem polarizing and like they're putting up red flags. But the reality is, again, communicating, it creates that clarity, confidence, and connection. So even Rob and I, the co-host of Man Whisperer, we were talking the other day about how we don't like to sleep with people and physically have a sleep. And Rob's like, look, I'm single and I don't want to be in a relationship. I don't. I love being single. And he doesn't love being single because he loves to go out and play. He loves being single because he loves his space. He loves his time. He loves his life. It feels good to him. So if you watcher, are in a relationship within which you're sitting here like, I feel terrible in this relationship. I wish my partner didn't come home. I wish you didn't wake up in the morning, which... a lot of people think that, okay? Right. Don't sit here like, oh my gosh, am I the only one? I can't tell people that I think that. You know, as soon as you start actually, I mean, don't say it in like, I'm going to murder them type of way. But once you are honest about that stuff, as soon as I started being honest with Rob about that stuff, he was totally honest with me. And now we're like, yay, we are the people who like to sleep alone. We are the people who are introverts. And like, we take pride in the fact that we have this weird side, but it makes us feel even more connected. And the truth is, there are a lot of other weird people out there. And I label me weird because I like to label me weird. So, you know, there are a lot of other people like us out there. It's not just us.
Right. And having romantic goals in 2020, not everybody wants to be, you know, in a traditional relationship. Some people might want a lover that they see once a month. Some people might want to have a romantic dinner date once a week. Some people might want to be polyamorous. So how would you help our listeners, since it's a new year summit, quantify their dating goals in 2020? Like, do you tell them how many dates to go on a week or a month? Like, how do you quantify an area like romance as far as goal setting?
You know, it really depends on the individual and what their priority is. So the number one thing to think of is, well, what's my priority? Mm-hmm. What is the most important thing to me? So if it's a single parent and they're concerned about making sure that their children have a physically, emotionally, financially safe environment within which the parent can feel at ease and calm, then that's your priority. Mm-hmm. So you're going to go out and have that. You're not looking for that person, but you do have that underlying ownership that that's your priority. If you own it and you're not afraid to voice it, then that's, you know, you might not find someone who you have that like hot romantic connection with, but is that the priority? Right. If your priority is going out and having so much fun and having like that hot sex and that fun time, then that's your priority. And it might be different from my priority and theirs and theirs and theirs and theirs. Own it and don't be afraid to show it. And date based on your priority. Again, you need to communicate with yourself and have the clarity of what it is that your priority is, and then go out and have the confidence to act on it. And it's not about what anyone else thinks you should do. It's not about what anyone else believes. And it's not about it being traditional. So right. many of my clients have untraditional relationships. So many of my clients are looking for untraditional relationships. They have untraditional dating situations. And it's just because they finally said, you know what? I'm just going to be honest with myself of what I really want, of what lights me up. You know, personally, I love sitting in the jacuzzi alone at night. I love it. I love to be totally alone. And a long time ago, I didn't. A long time ago, it was like, wait, I'm alone. Like, am I a loser? Uh-uh. Like when someone says, hey, Laurel, what are you up to this weekend? I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to hang out and I'm going to watch my true crime and take a bath and go in the jacuzzi. And they're like, oh, you have no plans. You want to go out? Oh no, I just told you my plans.
Yeah.
I have plans. It's allowing yourself to just be you.
And there's a difference between alone and solitude. Like solitude, the way that you're describing it, you know, having a jacuzzi and, you know, you're probably an empath. I don't know you very well, but empaths take on a lot of energy from the people around them.
Yeah.
And so I'm one too. We need that downtime to kind of like recenter and refuel, or we get completely emotionally and spiritually drained.
Yeah.
So, so it depends a lot.
And again, being honest, you know, being honest about who you are and what you need, and then not being afraid to voice it. Because so for me, as an introvert, who's an empath, who needs a lot of alone time.
Yeah.
If I am in a relationship with someone who needs to be out, wants to hang out all the time, our relationship is absolutely 100% going to fail.
Right.
The question is, how long is it going to take? And in the process of failing, I'm going to be annoyed. I'm going to resent you. You're going to feel not good enough because I don't want to hang out with you. I'm going to be mean. You're going to think I'm mean. You're like, all of a sudden, it's all of these extra layers come on. And the reason why the extra layers come on is because I'm not being honest with myself, my priorities, or anyone else.
So once somebody has their priorities and they know what they want, how do they go about getting it? Do you recommend that people go to swiping sites? Do you recommend that people go to networking events? Do you recommend people go to the grocery store and smile at everyone? Like, how do people go about finding the person once they're clear on first who they are and then what they want?
Depends on the person. You know, for some clients, I say do it all. For other clients, I say stay online, because they don't make a good first impression. For other clients, I say get out there, because maybe they their photos aren't good. So what people are seeing is this, and they're not seeing their real, genuine, amazing energy in person. Mm-hmm. You know, so it really depends on the individual, on where you feel like you shine. And sometimes it might be what you don't feel necessarily most comfortable with. Like, I have some clients who are hiding online and their only app and online dating and they are not photogenic, and they are not getting the attention that they would like. They're also afraid to go out. Mm-hmm. The thing is that God, I look at them and I'm like, you are the most amazing human being. I would date you. But people don't see that from a photo.
Right.
And that's the problem. They see it once they get to know them, once they see their personality. So for them, I say, go to a grocery store. Start a conversation with someone picking out tomatoes. You know, go up to them and say, God, I'm trying to make a tomato salad. I have no idea. You seem like you know about tomatoes because you just picked out four really good looking ones. So can you give me some advice, please? That's and then they're going to say, you know, here's the thing. Now that they've invested in you, when people invest in you, they are more interested in you. They want to be connected to their investment. So now if they see you at the grocery store again, they're going to be like, hey, you're tomato guy. How was that salad? And now you're starting a conversation. You know, for me, I Instacart. I only order my groceries online. I like everything super easy. So it would be hard for me to go meet someone at the grocery store because I don't go. For right. my clients who are like me, I say, go. You know, figure out a reason. Go yeah. buy a smoothie. Go and just smell the strawberries. I don't care. Go to the store every day. You know, go. I know you love your Nespresso at home.
Right.
Stop at Starbucks. Yeah. Have a conversation. Leave your phone in the car, unless it's to get someone's phone number. Then leave it in your purse or your pocket. Don't be sitting there like this, because this does not make anyone want to stop and talk to you. You know,
you tell both your female and your male clients to go ahead and start a conversation.
Absolutely.
The grocery store.
Absolutely. Right. You know, and these are what I call elevator conversations. Mm-hmm. So it's not just, hey, you're hot. You know, an elevator conversation is a conversation that's actually interesting, but short. So for example, instead, if someone says, hi, how's your day? Instead of saying, fine, because that's not a starter, right? That's an ender. Because mm-hmm. then how's your day? Fine. Wow, we're both boring people. So instead, it's, how's your day? You know what? It's really exciting. I'm kind of tired today, but I'm going out with a girlfriend tonight who I haven't seen in a long time. We're going to go look at the Christmas lights. So I'm excited. How about you? How's your day? You just learned something about me. I was able to tell you a lot of information in a very short thing. I was excited. Now you're going to say, oh my gosh, I haven't seen the Christmas lights. I want to go out and see those too. You know, and you're like, yeah, there's all these idiots who keep them up from last year. I'm a Christmas person. I start my holiday shopping in January. So I would be able to then have this whole conversation about my ridiculousness. I mean, it's ridiculous. But it lights me up, you know, right. And the best thing is actually saying something a little off so that they can say, wait, what? But Christmas was 3 weeks ago or something, because you want to do something that's going to make them. Instead of, how's your day? Oh, you know, it's going okay. I'm a little tired.
Right. That's so boring.
You know, or I was driving to work today and I heard this really interesting fact on the radio about, you know, whatever, flowers are pollinating right now because this is the time. It's New Year, New You for us. And it's also New Year, New You for flowers, whatever.
Yes. Anything.
Give something interesting. And then they're going to respond with something interesting. So always have an awareness of the interesting things happening in your life, and then give that to them.
Exactly. Now, this is probably a deeper question that we could do a whole show about, but I know
first so I can think. Yeah.
Yeah. You put your thinking cap on. So a lot of people have patterns in relationships, like codependent people go out with narcissists, or people who have grown up with abusive parents, you know, pick people that are abusive. So if someone's aware of their pattern, okay, this is a new year, it's a new me, I'm not going to go out with the same type of guy over and over and over again. How do they break out of that pattern in the new year?
So start dating head first, not heart first, which means think about, go to your list of needs. Mm-hmm. And think, okay, this is the type of person who I need. All right. I'm now going to swipe right on every single person who I would normally not swipe right on. And I'm not doing it because I want to. I'm doing it because Laurel said I have to. So, okay. I'm going to have a conversation with them before going out. It's not just like, hey, you're hot. You want to hang out? Yeah, let's go hang out. It's actually talking 3 or 4 exchanges each, then having a phone date with people who don't look the part, people who don't look like you would be with them. On that phone call, dating head first, you are talking about things directed towards your needs. You are extracting information that shows their needs. You go out with them, connection, chemistry, or not. You go out on 3 dates, unless it's a hard no, because they're rude or something. On the 3rd date, if you're still not feeling any like connection, not spark, not chemistry. Chemistry shows in the brain in the same location as cocaine. It actually is a drug and it's very rare. So if you're not feeling that deeper connection, that deeper attraction, then don't go on a 4th date. But give it a few dates so that you can start to see them. Because then you're creating the opportunity to see their humanity, to see who they actually are, to date head first. And then your head can say, oh, they are good for me. All right, I'm now going to open my heart. It's a decision. It is a choice.
I love that, because in this swiping, everything's so quick and it's like people decide in half a second if they're physically attracted or not. I don't think a lot of people even read the 5 lines and what can you get of your huge personality and soul into 5 lines, even if you do. So you're telling people to actually give people a chance that they normally would, because the people that they're attracted to are the people that they're stuck into these negative relationship cycles.
Exactly. Don't go out with the people who you're attracted to. I know that sounds so crazy, but don't. And go and tell every single person you know, hey, I'm single and I'm looking, and this is the right type of person for me. So if you have someone who you've always thought, God, Laurel would be great with that person, set me up.
Yes.
I'm going to say yes. Even if they're not amazingly attractive, I'm going to say yes. Because, but ask, say to your friends, the people who you think would be good for me, not the people who I historically have dated. Because the reality is, look at your friends, your business associates, people around you who have happy, healthy relationships. Do they look like the type of people who would be good together? Do they, are you sexually attracted to the person who they're with or not? Probably not. Most likely not. But there's something. There's a secret something that they have, and that's their humanity.
Right.
Right. So that's what you want to date. You don't want to date the person who looks right for you. You want to date the person who is right for you.
Oh, I love that. You don't want to date the person who looks right for you. You want to date the person that is right for you.
Yeah. And don't do what you think you should do. Do what feels right for you.
What does that mean?
That means that you think that this is also like, oh, they said I should be with that type of person. They said that I should do this. You know, thank you if that's what I should do, but that doesn't feel right for me. I feel that I want an untraditional relationship. I feel better when I have this type of living situation. I feel peaceful when I'm sleeping in my bed alone. I feel whatever it is, I feel better when I'm in my jacuzzi by myself. You know, this is a lot of alone stuff. Is that a traditional relationship? No, it's not. And it works for me and my partner.
It's better to feel good than to look good. That's what I say in my book.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what advice would you tell people? Some of the listeners are already in relationships and they don't want to leave. They've decided I'm going to stay with this person in 2020 and hopefully beyond 2020, but they want to keep the relationship exciting and hot and spicy and fun. So what advice do you have, Laurel, for couples that want to take it up a notch in 2020?
Well, remember the in-betweens. So the in-betweens are the little things, the little daily things, like writing love notes for each other again, putting little secrets around the house, sending a text in the middle of the afternoon, stopping and buying their favorite watermelon gum at the gas station when you're pumping gas, doing those little things that you know that they like that you've just stopped thinking about. When you show someone that you're thinking about them, now they're going to be like, wait, Laurel's thinking about me a lot, obviously. She just bought me flowers for absolutely no reason. What can I do to show her that I'm thinking about her too? And now you guys both start upping the ante a little bit and doing these things, and you're always in each other's minds, and suddenly you're feeling connected again, you're feeling attracted again, and things are starting to move. That's one thing. Another is what I call nightly thank yous. Which is at the end of the night, every night, or if you have different schedules, it's at some point during the day when you guys can connect. Sit together and just say, thank you for blank. One thing, not 100 things. One thing that you did for each other today. Thank you for taking out the trash this morning. You know, I was planning on doing it and I was overwhelmed and I really felt taken care of when you do that. Thank you for putting toothpaste on my toothbrush last night. You know how much I hate doing my nightly routine, and I like to know that you thought about me. Thank you for filling up my tea when I went outside. It felt so good to come back inside and have a warm mug waiting for me. So it's those little things, because the reality is that we don't acknowledge, and oftentimes we don't even see the little things that our partners are doing for us. Mm-hmm. When the reality is they might be doing everything for you and right. You just don't know. You know, thank you for turning off the lights last night next to my bedroom. I forgot to do it and I didn't have to wake up in the middle of the night and have that bright light on. Those little things, just acknowledging them. And then pretty soon, again, as you acknowledge, it's going to make them want to do more. So even if you feel like they don't do anything for you, if you start to do thank yous, they're going to start doing for you because they know you're going to be doing a thank you that night. Now, the key here is to acknowledge that this is what you guys are doing. You are setting new rules of engagement in your relationship. So if you just start doing this thank you and they're like, you're welcome. Okay. Well, you didn't set this rule.
Yeah.
And you can say, look, I was listening to this thing. There's this, you know, expert, her name's Laurel. She said you should do it. So let's do it. Put the onus on me. Yeah. You know, because if it's just like, I think we should do this thing, they might be like, that's weird. So Laurel said to do it. So let's try it out. You know, let's try it for 2 weeks and just see what happens every night. Let's just do it.
I love this because appreciation fuels relationships totally. And criticism destroys relationships.
Yeah.
So not to be conscious, not to criticize, and then to appreciate with the thank yous definitely will help your relationship even better.
The criticism is also important, but not constantly. The thank yous are daily. Then I have my either weekly or monthly check-ins. Mm-hmm. And that means once a week at a specific time or once a month on a specific day, mm-hmm. we get together and we just say, how we doing? Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's look at our, you know, areas that we need to look at. And we both know what they are. How is our sex life? How's our communication? How is our work-life balance? How are our chores? How is our social? So you have these pillars of your relationship. How we doing?
Yeah.
And this is not a time to get angry, defensive, offended. This is a time to just say, you know, you want to do what I call the you strategy. So start with positivity, drop down into the difficulty, vulnerability, and back up to positivity. So you know, how are we doing with communication? You know, I really felt heard the other day when I said this. Thank you. I definitely think that we need to work on it though, because there have been several instances this week where I was talking to you and you picked up your phone in the middle of conversation. And it made me feel ignored. It made me feel like what I was saying wasn't important. And because I love to talk to you and I love to connect with you. Now we're going back to up to the top.
Right. I love
so,
that.
So then they might say, oh, I did? I had absolutely no idea I was doing. It's just like habit to pick up my phone and look and just scroll. There was nothing important going on. You are the most important. So you're creating awareness. And then they're going to make a habit of trying to make change. And then you can say, okay, you know, thank you for understanding. So what should we do then if you do that again in the middle of conversation? Is there a word that I can use, or is there something that I can say? So now you're getting permission to say, instead of like, on your phone again,
right?
And being pissed. Now you know that that's just habit. So you can say, remember how we talked about that in our check-in and you said that I could point it out. So I'm just pointing it out that you're looking at your phone.
That is great advice. And I say in the book how you're the CEO of your own life and your romantic partner is like your right-hand person, your vice president, your president. And companies have meetings weekly or monthly to say, okay, how are we doing? What's going on? How can we improve? And I think that's so practical, but people don't want to check in on relationships because we have this romantic ideal that you just find your person and you get on the white horse and you ride off into the sunset and live happily ever after.
Yeah, it's just not true.
Constant vigilance and work to make sure that it's on track.
And it also helps then you catch it at the seed. You know, you catch it at the beginning before it's like, you are always on your phone. You never pay attention to me. So it's like, you know, this the thing that you're doing or this thing that you've done lately or this thing that you've done for a while and it hurts my feelings. Or we haven't had sex in 3 weeks and it's making me feel really not desired. Is there something going on? You know, and they can communicate what it is. So it creates an environment, a non-emotional, non-attached. It's so important. Place. So you're not going to be like, what? I don't do that. It's just, oh, I didn't realize that that's how it was coming across. Or so it's just, and then after, maybe you're not immediately after you've gone, you know, at it, you might not immediately want to go have sex, or maybe you do. Maybe you want to go out to dinner after, or it depends on the relationship. It depends on the individual couple. You might say after, you know what, can we just both take a beat and I'm going to go in the jacuzzi by myself and sort of detox and think, and you can go into your office and check your emails and do what you do. And then let's, you know, let's reconvene. So it's also not forcing anything.
Right. Love. You know? I like the saying, love is space.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. Yeah.
Laurel,
and space
I can
that,
talk to
that
you.
Each need, you know, like we might need to be like, okay, yay, let's kiss and make up now. Amazing. Right.
Yeah. So I could talk to you all night about relationships, couples, dating. I know why you've been on over 500 media outlets. Every topic, you have systems, strategies, ideas, techniques. So how can my listeners keep in touch with you and keep learning from your endless wisdom on relationships and dating?
Thank you. So you can go on Love Actually Academy. I just at the end of last year released my new video product. It's a huge, very extensive video program that teaches you self-love, flirting, dating, communication, connection, texting, getting into a relationship, staying in the relationship, getting out of the relationship, healing from the relationship, exactly what to say, exactly what to do, all of the strategies. And so that's loveactuallyacademy.com. It comes with a workbook that's over 150 pages. It's taken me several years to make. You can also go to my podcast, Man Whisperer, and where you'll hear a lot of advice. My website is Man Whisperer as well. And for you guys, because I so appreciate you and thank you for having me talk to all of your amazing listeners and viewers, I'm going to give you $100 off of Love Actually Academy. So instead of $497, it will be $397 with the code LOVE100. And this is something that my coaching starts at $2,500 and goes up to $100,000. So this is, you know, a lot of information that I give to my clients for a very small fraction of the price. So $397 with Love 100. And that is hours and hours and hours of video coaching plus the workbook that's going to help you with the strategies and to really move forward and make change in your love life.
Well, this was amazing. So for all you listeners out there, this was Laurel House. She's given you a great gift and we are going to help you guys with her techniques and tools and programs manifest true love. and find that soulmate. And if you are in a relationship, take it to the next level of love and connection. So it's been such a pleasure to talk to you, Laurel, and we'll definitely do more of these interviews together because I have so many more questions.
Yes, I would love it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. We'll see you soon, listeners. Okay. We'll see you tomorrow for the next expert. Bye.
Who says you can't have it all? I'm proof that you can. You just have to put your life into balance. Too much of anything, money, fitness, socializing, can overtake your life. When all seven aspects of your life work in harmony, you will achieve the balanced, beautiful, and abundant life you've always dreamed of. Please subscribe to hear more inspiring interviews. Is there someone you know who could benefit from this podcast? Please share this podcast with them. Please review this podcast. Your feedback will help me target your needs and plan for upcoming shows that answer your questions and feature guest speakers that can make a big difference in your life. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Rebecca E. Whitman. Feel free to DM me to book a free balance assessment call. And don't forget, stay balanced, beautiful, and abundant. It's